Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, I get the delight now of introducing our special guest speaker this evening. Have you guys been enjoying our rotation of speakers, these one-on-one encounters with Jesus that they've been going on? Well, fresh off of the mission field, his very first missions trip to Romania is our junior high guy. He leads this group of youth faithfully each week, and we're just so honored to call him co-laborer here at Refuge. Now, 1.5 years he's been here on staff, but more importantly, also friend and brother in Christ. So would you please join me in welcoming a very warm welcome to our own Blake Richards.
So excited to be here tonight. Thank you all for coming. Looks like we got a really packed house. So this has been a very great night. Let's go ahead and give it up for the Jason Winters Band again. How awesome are they? That was so fun. My family, we grew up on country music. I did not like it when I was little, but I love it now. So as any of you noticed, we were definitely doing a little dance party over there, and that was a great time. But as Katie said, yep, my name is Blake. I am the junior high guy here. This is my first opportunity getting to teach Resonance, and very excited to be here. But with that excitement definitely comes a little bit of nerves. Our youth is here with us tonight over to the right. Say hi, youth. Hello. Woo! Woo! They're going to have my back tonight. I talked to them, and we worked out a little system to kind of help out with the nerves a little bit here. So I just wanted to tell a little joke. What do you call a happy cowboy? A jolly rancher. A flamingo. Oh, thank you. They got the code word right. All right. Well, if this is your first time here tonight, we've been going through one-on-one encounters with Jesus each week, looking at a different story where Jesus encounters someone in the middle of his road, or as we'll see tonight, in the middle of a tree. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Luke chapter 19. We'll be starting in verse 1. And tonight we're going to be focusing on Jesus's encounter with a man named Zacchaeus, or Zacchaeus, however you want to pronounce it. I'm going to go with Zacchaeus for tonight. When Pastor Bill and Pastor Jeff presented the different passages that we had to look through for this, this one stuck out to me for two different reasons. Number one was I definitely giggled a little bit when I saw on the paper they had listed the little tax man. And number two was definitely because I had heard this story first in high school, in a high school camp, and it really stuck to me, had a great impact on my life, so that one definitely stuck out. So I for sure chose it more for that second reason, not the first one. But we're going to look at Luke chapter 19 tonight with the feedback going on. Flamingo. Nailed it. So look with me at Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he is gone to be a guest with a man who was a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and I have taken, or if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Father, we just come before you tonight. Lord, I want to thank you for just this family we have here at Refuge and this unique opportunity to be able to do a summer concert series outside where we can hang out as a family, get to listen to some great music, but above all that, Lord, just worship you and get to dive into your word and what you have for us. So I pray that you're with us here. Lord, speak through me. Help everyone have open hearts to receive what you want us to tonight, and just let us remove any distractions that that might come up, and just help us really apply and seek relationship with you and what you have for us here tonight, Lord. So we lift these things up in your name, Jesus. We love you and we praise you. Amen. All right. I'm a three-point kind of guy, so throughout the passage, I'm just going to pull out 3 points of encouragement or some things that I want us to pull out, and starting with point number one is simply just going to be seek Jesus. When I was young, I used to love to climb things, and specifically, I'd look for any opportunity I could to climb onto our roof, whether it was to see fireworks on 4th of July or maybe the air show planes that would come over. I'd look for any opportunity I can to get up there because I was trying to seek something. My parents are sitting right here. They loved it. They loved whenever I was on the roof so much. Not really. It was a childlike wonder that drove me to want to seek and want to find anywhere I can to see better. And in our passage, we see a man named Zacchaeus. In verses 2 and 3, we get 3 bits of information that are pretty important for us and give us a good amount to know about him. In verse 2, it starts saying, "Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector." Tax collectors at this time were just the most popular, the best people out there, right? No, definitely not the case, right? They were despised. They were seen as scum. They were hated, seen as terrible sinners. There oftentimes were Jewish men who had been appointed by the Roman ruling authority of that area to go door to door, to go to all the people and collect taxes, collect the fees that they had been imposing on them, and they were just not liked because of that. And people often felt that they were unclean, they were traitors because they saw them as one of their own, but now they're in this position where they're just doing them dirty. They're not treating them well. And another reason for the disdain was because of a practice that would happen a lot back then. It was called tax farming. And what these tax collectors would do, they would make extra profit based on any charges, anything extra they could force or trick the other people into paying. They would take that money and they would pocket it. So not only was Zacchaeus a chief tax collector, but he was someone who would do that a lot, because we see in that second bit of information, it says that he was rich. He must have practiced that tax farming on people, because that was the only way tax collectors back then got rich, is if they practiced that and they used it as an opportunity to take advantage and to really steal from those people of what they had earned. So it's pretty safe to say that he was not the most popular man in that area. And finally, the last little bit of information we learned in verse 3 is that he was short in stature. So given that there was a crowd present at this time while Jesus was entering Jericho, we know and there seems to be a lot of obstacles that are getting in Zacchaeus' way from seeing Jesus. But however, even despite all those obstacles, Zacchaeus still had a strong desire to seek after Jesus and to see him. He wanted to see who this man was for himself. He'd probably heard a lot of the things that he had been doing, and he sought and wanted to see him. So what did he do? He climbed a tree, right? He climbed a tree to get a better view and find an opportunity to see him. There's a commentary by Pastor David Guzik, and he draws a really cool parallel about what he did in this and what this action kind of represented. In Matthew 18, verse 3, Jesus says, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Climbing a tree back then was not really socially acceptable. I don't know if it's socially acceptable today, but I usually stay away from it now. And for him, especially being a grown man, well, I guess we know not super, super grown, but a grown man who was wealthy, he had to humble himself to kind of risk ridicule, to risk that that him being viewed as a child, of going up to this tree and people saying, like, "What are you doing? You're acting like a child," right? He had to do that, but it was all out of this desire to seek Jesus. He chose to do that, to risk it and overcome those obstacles. In our lives, there's going to be many things that come up, many obstacles that might have an opportunity or a chance to kind of prevent us from being able to seek Jesus, or maybe it will distract us, right? We all have things we go through in life. There's job pressure in relationships, insecurities, doubts, just life stuff that seems to continue to pile on and on and on. And we have a real enemy who wants to put those obstacles in our way. He wants to find any opportunity he can to create some kind of separation between us and Jesus, to block our view, to block Jesus from being at the center of our vision, our life. But if we're determined to seek Jesus, like we see with Zacchaeus, if Jesus is at the center of our lives, and if he is our focus, despite any obstacles we have, anything that might come in our way, they become smaller because Jesus becomes larger in our life, and he becomes this bigger picture. So kind of capping off that first point, the point number one is really just to seek Jesus through any obstacles in life and continue to keep him at the focus. And kind of moving on to point two, it's simply we are known by Jesus. So point two, we are known by Jesus. If you look at me with verse 5, it says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to Zacchaeus, 'Make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.'" At this point, Jesus is just passing through, but he sees Zacchaeus, and he sees the effort that he had done to try to see him, to climb up this tree, to do anything he can, and it sticks out to Jesus. Jesus has never met Zacchaeus at this point. We know Zacchaeus is trying to see him for himself. This is the first time he is seeing Jesus, yet Jesus calls him by name, and he invites him over to himself. The Bible is very clear that Jesus knows everything about us. He knows who we are. In John 10, verse 14, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." In Matthew 10, he says, "Every hair on our head is numbered." In this passage, we see evidence and proof of what Jesus is saying, that he knows us. Jesus knows Zacchaeus and knows everything about him. He knows what he struggles with. He knows the sins that Zacchaeus had committed, and he knows the things that he had done to get rich. He knows the people he had taken advantage. He knows all these things, yet despite that, what does he do? He invites him over, right? And not only does he invite him over to himself to come down from the tree, Jesus invites himself over to his house. He invited him over there not to just preach some sermon or teach him maybe a lesson for 5 minutes or tell him that he needed to stop doing the corrupt things. He invited him over because he desired relationship with him. He desired to build that. And really, that's the nature of our connection with Jesus and what he desires with all of us, everyone here. We're so blessed to have a Savior that not only knows us, knows our name, knows how many hairs we have on our head, knows everything about us, but desires to have a real relationship with us, to go further, to go deeper with everyone. Not this mundane practice of just going to church and maybe praying occasionally before we eat or when we need something, but a relationship that seeps into every aspect of our lives, and it continually brings us closer to him, closer to righteousness. That is what he desires for all of us. John chapter 15, something has been on my heart a lot recently. It's come up in youth and something that seems to continually come up, and I love it. And in verse 4, it says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." I've always put such a big emphasis in this passage on the me abiding in Jesus part, the my work, what my role is. But in doing that, I've tended to overshadow that second part and the fact that Jesus is abiding in me. When there is abiding, there is a deep, close relationship that is unlike any other relationship or experience we can have with anyone else other than Jesus. One that affects every single aspect of our lives. One that's able to bear fruit in us, and one that's able to transform us. And that kind of bleeds into point number three, which is Jesus transforms and redeems. I think it's safe to say We all love redemption stories, right? I know I love it personally. We see it all the time in movies. You see a character that's taken on some kind of journey where they go through experiences and something happens to them, and you see how it shapes them. Pastor Bill had mentioned Marvel movies in his message on last weekend, and I'm a big fan of Marvel, so I'm going to hit you guys with another one here. How many of you have seen Iron Man or know the story of Iron Man? A little bit. Right, he starts off as this arrogant, rich guy who's only out for self-gain, only cares about himself and money and trying to sell anything he can just to the highest bidder and only cares about himself. But through the whole series, you see him go through different experiences, different things that shape him, and ultimately, what is he willing to do? He is willing to sacrifice himself to save everyone, right? Spoiler alert, sorry. Jesus is in the business of transforming and redeeming the lost. And can I tell you, boy, is it way more powerful than anything we see in movies or anything that we could think of. In Romania, Nikki had mentioned we just went to Romania. Very big blessing, awesome trip. A big portion of the teaching there was to talk about how Jesus transforms us. A lot of the kids out there had responded to the gospel. They knew who Jesus was, but they didn't really know what that meant for their life, and they didn't really know what it meant to walk with Jesus. And we used a couple different examples. Paul was a big one. I think we all know the story of Paul, right? It used to be Saul, persecuted Christians, has a radical experience with Jesus, and then becomes an author of most of the New Testament letters, right? This book who did, this guy who did amazing things for Jesus. It's our relationship and it's our experiences with him. It's these encounters with Jesus that transform us. And they start to really take an impact in us. And we see that with Zacchaeus. Looking again at verse 8, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." From this very brief interaction that we see, of being able to see Jesus, being able to experience him, Zacchaeus was instantly affected by it. He was instantly impacted by what Jesus had done for him. He sought Jesus and was driven to repentance for what he had done. Some translations, I think the NIV puts it, Zacchaeus is saying here and now. But from the passage we know, it says right at that moment, Zacchaeus is compelled to give half of his riches, half of everything he has to those who need it. And even further, not just doing that, he goes and he says, anyone who I did the tax farming on, anyone who I've stolen from unfairly, I'm going to give them four times as much. This encounter affected Zacchaeus. He got to experience Jesus, believed all the things he had heard about him, and it really changed his heart. Jesus desires for us to experience him in the same way that Zacchaeus did. He desires for us to pursue a relationship because he wants to see his righteousness shine through us, and he wants to sanctify us, that continual process of turning to him and him transforming and making us new. He wants us to place our faith in him and repent, because when we do, we get to receive what we see Zacchaeus receive here in verse 9. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Salvation, it's the ultimate work of Jesus. It's the end game for us. It's the height of his love and his mercy towards us. I know there have been many, many times in my life, and maybe you've experienced this too, or maybe there's some who are experiencing this right now and thinking it, but we may find ourselves of this feeling of just being unworthy. And I think Jason was talking about this earlier too, which is awesome. This feeling that I'm just too far gone. There's too much in my life that I've done. There's no way Jesus could still love me. There's no way that what I've done isn't separating myself from him. Just completely overwhelmed by these obstacles that we have in our lives and the challenges we face. We might think that our sins are just too great, and our struggles are just insurmountable, too much for him to transform and redeem us. But we know that this is definitely not the truth, right? It is quite the opposite. Jesus came for those who feel lost, who feel broken, who feel too far gone. His purpose in coming to earth, his purpose in leaving perfection, coming down as a man to live with us, was to seek and to save the lost, to offer salvation to all those who would turn to him and believe in him. No matter how big our sins are or how much we seem to struggle, Jesus' love is immeasurably greater. The obstacles in our life, whether it's repeated sins that just make you feel broken, doubts, fears, pressures in jobs, relationships, right? All these things should not be seen as just this insurmountable barrier that is staying right in between me and Jesus and blocking our view. Instead, really, they can serve as a reminder for how much we need him and how much his work was so important and impactful for us. His victory on the cross, conquering sin, it's what gave us our path to salvation. It's what gives us meaning. It's what gives us life. When we feel overwhelmed, Jesus invites us to come to him. He says, give me your burdens, right? He promises us that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He offers rest, and he promises to walk with us through every trial and every challenge we face. He's not just saying, I'm here, you can give me the burdens, all right, go do it on your own. He's walking through it with us. He's abiding in us. That's what that relationship is. It's a two-way living together, allowing Jesus to continually make us new and righteous. The assurance of Jesus's love and grace, it should encourage us. It should allow us to approach him with confidence, knowing that he is eager to embrace us. He's eager to forgive us. Right? There's no situation too bleak, no sin too great, no heart too broken that Jesus can't redeem. Right? As we encounter obstacles and struggles in our life, we need to remember that Jesus' love for us and his victory is so much bigger, infinitely bigger. All right, I'm going to invite the band to come on up here. And as we close, I kind of wanted to mention one more thing. Earlier, I had talked about Zacchaeus and how those demonstrated this childlike faith in climbing that tree, and kind of wanted to use that as a transition to speak about children. You know, this week we got VBS going on, and our amazing children's director, Nikki, has put on a very awesome program. It's been a blessing for all the kids. Let's give it up for Nikki in that program. But today, our fourth grade group, they put together a poem, which definitely almost brought tears to my eyes. They'd all contributed one word, and they wanted to do this. And when I heard that, I was like, I got to include this. This is so amazing, the work that Jesus is doing in just the lives of these kids and what we've got going on here. And this is the poem. It says, Jesus died on the cross to give us salvation. We can trust Jesus to forgive us. He loves us, and we hope in him. We praise God. He is patient with us, and he is all-powerful. That's just amazing, isn't it? Whew. That is awesome, right? And it's so true. They nailed it. Jesus is so patient through everything we have, right? These things that seem insurmountable, these obstacles that come up, no matter what, Jesus is going to be with us, and he's strong enough to take care of it. He invites us to do that. He invites us to abide with him so he can abide with us. So our reminder tonight, again, really to seek Jesus through any obstacles we have. Seek him because he knows us. He knows our names. He knows everything about us, and he desires relationship with us. And not only desires just that relationship, but he desires to transform and to redeem us. That's why he died on the cross for our sins. That's why he is our Savior, out of his love and what he desires for us. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for everything you've done and these stories we have that we can turn to and see just your love just shown through every aspect of your life and what you've done for us, Lord. I pray that no matter what is going on in life, Lord, the pressures we face, the things that just seem so overwhelming and just so hurtful, Lord, I pray that we're able to just give those to you. And that way you can provide us a way to get over it and see you, Lord. Get over those obstacles to seek you and find truth in your love and the embrace you have for us. So, Lord, I pray that we continue to just lean into that desire relationship with you. Lord, if maybe that's something we've never thought about, Lord, I pray that you put that on our heart just to seek that more and find what it is to love you and to walk with you, because you loved us first and you call us to live and to love you and to shine your light through us. So Lord, thank you for this night. Please bless this time in worship as we just bring our cares and just bring praise to you, Lord. We love you and we praise you. Amen.
The following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.